Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Joseph Sternberg, my colleague. He's a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes the column Political Economics. He's based in London. But we're looking at the many years Joe spent in Hong Kong for the Wall Street Journal editorial page, observing the transformation of China from a beggarly nation of desperate people into a world power. And along the way came a man named Xi Jinping and the New Day. The New Day is to prosper and dominate. However, Joe, a very good evening to you. I understand that right now China is aware, the statistics point to a downgrading of their ambitions over these next years. Maybe it's a recession, maybe the normal business cycle. However, a couple of facts that I came across recently that inform your new column. The number of container ships arriving in the West Coast ports of the United States is down dramatically. The number of containers on those container ships coming from Asia, down dramatically. This is not Christmas gizmos. This is inputs for the springtime that our manufacturing needs. Meaning one, either we've found different supply chains, or two, we don't need the abundance of material that China is ready to sell to the world for its own profit, or three, we're in a recession. I don't choose one. I entertain all three. Let's go to the China side. They're certainly aware that their business model from the early part of this century is not working. What are they doing about it? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hey, John. This is an enormous pickle that China finds itself in, because they're getting caught in a vise between a couple big economic developments, one of which is happening in the rest of the world and one of which is happening at home. So if we go back to before 2020, remember that the economic model in China for many, many years was investment above all else. And that would be investment in real estate, in the property market, and also investment in new manufacturing capacity and all of the public works that would facilitate bringing new products to market from new factories, and bringing those products to the global market in particular. And so what started happening in 2020 is that they realized, Xi Jinping in Beijing in particular, understood that the property market component of this was dangerously unstable, that there was a property bubble that they needed to pop. And so they've been doing that. I mean, they've really been cracking down on investment in the property market. They have achieved a big downward shift in prices. This has been very disruptive for that segment of the economy. But they needed to transition into something, because if you weren't going to have an economy built on the real estate market anymore, it had to be built on something. And what we're discovering now is that they have never really figured out what that something was going to be. So you had a lot of economists inside and outside of the country telling them that the something needed to be domestic consumption. But it takes a long time to develop a domestic consumption-led economy. They are very far away from being able to do that, and in some ways actually moving backwards on that score. And so by default, they were hoping that they could just continue exporting to the rest of the world, and that if you could ramp up that export machine, the rest of the world essentially would offer China a bailout in the form of buying all of this production that China was churning out. And as you pointed out with the data from the container ports in Western North America, the rest of the world isn't buying in the same way anymore. And so this is creating enormous stress on the Chinese economy right now, and all kinds of problems for Chinese policymakers, up to and including Xi Jinping, as they are trying to figure out desperately what they can do to deliver at least stability, if not rising prosperity at the moment.
You introduce a word, involution, that the Chinese leadership is using. What does it mean, and why are they using it?
Well, this is their concern about what the China economy is doing by default if the exporting isn't working, because they've got the situation where they have stimulated all kinds of production for everything. I mean, they have a ridiculous number of battery electric vehicle manufacturers producing electric vehicles. They've got a ridiculous number of steel producers scattered around the country producing steel. They've got more of all of these products than they know what to do with. And the original plan, to the extent that there was one, had been that they would export. And if the rest of the world isn't buying, all of the stuff is going to end up trapped within the Chinese economy. And so what you would expect if you have a glut of something is that companies start slashing the prices on it to try to shift product into the marketplace. This is enormously dangerous for the Chinese economy, because what you end up doing if you have these price wars is manufacturers are trying to unload gluts of everything is deflation. And you might ordinarily think that deflation would be great for Chinese households because at least it increases their purchasing power at a time when other parts of the economy aren't going great. And that's true. But deflation is extremely dangerous if you have huge volumes of debt in your economy, because it makes it harder for debtors to repay, because essentially the inflation or deflation adjusted value of that debt is becoming more burdensome if prices are falling. So because China has come into this adjustment phase weighed down by debts so big that Beijing can't even count them, the real estate-related debts that so many local governments are carrying on their balance sheets, or especially off their balance sheets. And so that leaves those local government entities, a lot of the state-owned enterprises that are linked to these governments, and then the enterprises themselves are very heavily indebted and are vulnerable to a deflationary environment. And so involution is the word that Beijing has coined to describe this deflationary process and to label it as a bad thing, so that now they can say, we do not want this involution to happen. Assigning that label to it allows Beijing to present this as something that all of those crazy, poor judgment companies are doing out there, instead of as a logical consequence of many years of Beijing's policy failures.
Joseph, is there an understanding in Beijing of creative destruction, of letting those 150 EV companies sort themselves out, so it came down to two or three winners?
Well, sort of. I mean, what Beijing wants at this point is the destruction. So part of the anti-involution campaign that they've been running for the past year is oriented at trying to knock heads together until they can force mergers of all of these producers of everything. So if you have a gajillion electric vehicle manufacturers, try to see if you can just consolidate that down so you only have a bajillion of them. If you have thousands of wildcat steel manufacturers, see if you can consolidate down to a couple hundred, and then hope that the bigger entities that are left have more pricing power. The problems with this are, first off, Beijing, and this is counterintuitive for people who don't understand precisely how the Chinese system works. When we describe it accurately as a communist economy, you tend to think that involves a high degree of Soviet-style central planning from Beijing, and that is not true. The Chinese system of state control often has diffused that state control down to the local level. So, I mean, the Communist Party ultimately is in control, but this is filtered through all of these local and provincial and municipal governments that are in charge of things. And these government entities often are unwilling to cede too much control of the companies they manage. So already it's very difficult for Beijing to force this consolidation, and it's a very slow process. And then it's not always obvious that they're going to do a good job of it, because you don't have a market mechanism to tell you which are actually the well-run companies who ought to be in charge of the merged entities. Often it comes down to whichever company has the better political connections will end up absorbing the others, even if it's the worst run. So you have that problem. And then, I mean, John, you mentioned the phrase creative destruction. They absolutely do not want the creative part of that, because that implies a certain amount of independent market functioning free of state control. And the whole point of this exercise is that they don't want people getting creative. They want more state control over the commanding heights of the economy.
What you've described is no way out. Is that a conclusion?
Well, there's a way out for the Chinese economy, which is that you can have a series of reforms that are going to encourage more productive investment by private entrepreneurs. So we shouldn't describe this as a no way out scenario. It's just that there is not a way out that Xi Jinping and the Communist Party want to follow, because their path out of this morass is to encourage more private entrepreneurship and investment in the productivity growth that would come from that, and the kind of economic creativity that sort of market would bring with it, which is the one thing that we are absolutely clear Xi Jinping does not want, because his overarching goal is to maintain and consolidate state and party control of the economy. And if that is your basic condition, then no, there probably is not a way out of this jam that they're in.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal editorial page. He writes political economics. He's based in London. We're going for life in London and protests and the prime minister standing up saying stop. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.